Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us, David loved to be with other folks when praising God. Now, some of you say, I can praise God at the house. Oh, but a true praiser say, I can praise him at the house, but when I give with other folks, oh my God, I'm going to really praise him. The Bible said that David, when he was already praising in the field, he knew how to play that harp. He had an anointing on him, but when somebody else played, guess what? David said, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. And on the way back, he was praising God till he danced out of his clothes, made his wife mad. He said, that's okay. I can get more vile than this. If you think that made you mad, you just wait till next Sunday and watch me praise God some more. I wish I had some people that say, I can get more vile than this. I can praise God tomorrow. I'll praise him in the morning. I'll wake you up. You don't make me shut my mouth, because if it hadn't been for God, David said, oh, magnify the Lord. Look at the invitation. We went from a celebration himself to an invitation. And sometimes we need to invite people into our praise party. Tell them, come on, you got something to praise God for. Let's praise him together. So David started out in a solo, but then he said, let's have a symphony. Let's get together and all praise the Lord. He invites others to praise along with him. And because he was in the cave, notice where he was.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. 88.1 K255BT Monroe, West Monroe 98.9 K223BI Greenwood, Shreveport 92.5 KQJO St. Joseph, Natchez 99.3 He's a wonder, and the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
It's wonderful. And there are so many places I want to go to in this verse, but I'll just start with verse 9. And as you open your Bibles and turn to that, I want you to participate in this. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment to read Philippians 4, verse 9. And one of the things that I want you to recognize is that Paul is sharing with the church at Philippi some principles that he has taught them, that he's now encouraging them to practice so that they can profit from them. And again, it's important because not only is this meant for the church at Philippi, but it's meant for all believers today, because these principles help us to recognize and understand how God flows and functions in his word, his will, and his way. So if you will, now let's begin reading at Philippians 4, verse 9. Start. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is writing this letter from a Roman jail, and he is most grateful for his ministering ability to the people of God, and yet he proves that even though his confinement and or his circumstance does not prevent him from ministering to the people of God, the Word of God. Paul does not take liberty to use his confinement as an excuse not to make sure that the people of God are on track doing what they're supposed to do so that they are able to follow the principles of God and to profit from them. One of the things that's so important about teaching is that when you learn the instruction of the teacher no longer needs to be present for you to operate in the teachings. And so one of the reasons why Paul wants to encourage the people of God, and you'll see, especially in this fourth chapter, as he's nearing the end of this letter, he has given them all kinds of encouragement. He's told them how to regulate their thinking and what they should think about and think on. Why does he say that? Because too many of us allow our thought processes to run haywire, to go outside of the realm of positivity and or proper thinking as it relates to the Word of God. Too many of us are consumed with what we see in the world, what we experience in life, and find ourselves separated from the thoughts of what God says we are, we can do, and what shall be. And so Paul helps them to regulate their thinking. Listen, your mind is a powerful instrument. And you've got to know that if you don't control your mind will control you. And so he not only tells them how to think, but he tells them how to pray. You know, to be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, make their requests known unto God. Why? Because one of the things you've got to know is Jesus made this clear back in the sixth chapter of Matthew, that even though God knows everything there is to know about you, what's going on with you, what's going on around you, what's going on in you, he still wants you to ask, to open up your mouth and articulate your own thoughts, your feelings, your petitions, your requests. It is important because what God is trying to get the people of God to understand is that from the mind comes the thoughts and all of the structured thinking, but from the mouth releases the reality for those things that are thought of to be constructed in the atmospheric realm. In other words, what you think don't cause God to move. What you say does. Listen, what you say calls either God to move or causes the enemy to move. That's why you've got to be careful what you let come out of your mouth. You see, when you speak positive things, and when you have the ability to speak those things that be not as though they were, then you also need to know that you have that same power and ability to speak negative things and things that are different and opposite from God's word, which actually tear down the reality of what you could have and what you could be and what you could do by the words that come out of your mouth. Remember, when you go back into Genesis chapter 1, you'll discover you're made in God's image and in God's likeness. And remember, God said, "Let there be." Everything there was, from verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, 26, and 29. Every time he said, "And God said," right behind it, it was. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God wants you to know that when you speak faith-filled words, you need to look for them to happen. If I said this in faith, then I'm looking for the result to be the same as what I have spoken. Here's what I need to know. I don't have to see it to believe it. But because I believe it, I can see it. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, if I don't see it, I ought not get discouraged. I ought not become despondent because I don't see what I want. If I don't see what I want, maybe God is expecting me to speak it into existence. To call it from nowhere and from nothing into reality. I have that ability as a born-again believer. But Paul is reminding them of principles he's shared with them, he's taught them. So look at what he says. Those things which ye have both learned and received. Let's look at the word learned first. First of all, learn has to do with the imparting of knowledge in terms of doctrine, in terms of understanding, in terms of teaching. Discipline and even dogma. And when Paul talks about things that you have learned, it is because he's talking about the investment of truth that he has imparted to them to help them understand what it is that God would have them to know and to do. And then when he says, "and receive," now, he's talking about that comes by way of, again, sharing of traditions, sharing of truths that are imparted with an anointing or a laying on of hands. When he talks about receiving, he's talking about understanding all of the things that you have gotten that were imparted to you. Now, here he deals with learning, which has to do, again, with doctrine, etc. And then he talks about receiving. So here is the point I want you to get. There are some things that are taught, and then there are other things that are caught. Sometimes, I've said to you many times, you catch this on your way home. Yeah, because, see, there are things that you catch in the spirit. They are, you receive them. You get them as an enlightenment in your spirit. It may not happen the moment that they're said, but you will catch them somewhere down the line, because as God continues to magnify upon that truth and open up that truth, illuminate that truth, you begin to understand it better, and it makes sense to you. So he says that was some things I sat you down and you were taught. You learned those things, as in a classroom setting, as in doctrine, as in discipline, etc. He said, but there were some things I said to you, you caught them. They made sense to you. Maybe not that moment, but as you lived and as you experienced realities, you received those truths. Then he goes on to say, and heard. Because when he preached and when he ministered and when he demonstrated the Spirit's power working through him, these were all principles he wanted them to observe, using their mental and their physical capacities to grasp the fullness of those realities. So he said, you've used your mind to be able to learn these things. You have also used your ability to reason and catch certain truths that may not have come immediately out of the learning, but the imparting of understanding that came later. You caught that. You received that. He also talks about the things you've heard, because one of the things that you're going to note is that there is a powerful tool in hearing. Matter of fact, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are just some things that don't make sense until you hear them. You can read them and they don't make sense, but when you hear them, something happens on the inside of your spirit man, and it causes you to be able to grasp the meaning better. Many times we learn even more distinctly through hearing certain things, and so it's important to understand he used this method of hearing as a part of this principled experience. And then he says, and seeing. Again, visually observing. Why is that important? Because when you are able to see the transformation, the miraculous change, how God deals with one thing, turns it in from one thing to another, it all brings this learning experience into the fullness of a comprehensive learning experience. And so Paul said, those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen. Now notice, this is important now, because he says, all of those principles you have observed in me. Now Paul was the one who said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if you're going to follow me as I follow Christ, you need to learn, you need to receive, you need to hear, and you need to see. You need to be totally engaged in the experience so that you will be able to get a true understanding of how the Spirit of God operates in a believer who is anointed and appointed to flow and function and operate in authority. Paul was teaching him these things because he knew he would not be with them always. Paul ministered to various groups of believers. He was here, he was there, he was everywhere. But everywhere he went, his whole desire and design was to bring about the experience of knowing so that these people of God would be able to operate in the same like manner experience that Paul himself had. You see, it doesn't make any sense in teaching folk and they're not going to do what they're taught. What's the sense in you learning the word if you're not going to do the word? And see, what one of the things, Paul, see, that every Sunday morning, my desire is to share the word of God, to inspire you, to encourage you, to educate you, to inform you, to help you to reach a whole new level of understanding and operating in the word of God. So when you leave church and go back home and go back to your jobs and go back to school and go back into the marketplace and go back into your neighborhoods, that you're able to take these principles and apply them and realize that you can become successful through the principles of God, just as God said you could through those who practice his word. So he said, you've seen it in me. Now here is your part now. Do. Do. Because if you don't do, all of this don't make sense. It doesn't profit you. You don't gain anything. You're not successful. Listen, you do not reach new levels. You do not go to new places in God. You are not strengthened. You do not walk in authority if you don't do the things you know. James says, if you know better and then don't do it, it's sin. It's better not to know it than to know it and not do it. Listen, either way it goes, you're going to be held responsible, because just like the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse. See, that's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Why? So that you can follow in his footsteps. So that you can duplicate the things that he did. Now, Paul walks on through the text and he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So now Paul compliments them on their sharing of their gifts and their substance and their resources with him. Remember now, he's talking about, again, the Philippians sowing into his ministry. But he's saying to them that, I want to just thank God for you, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the end, see, Paul is talking about, he recognizes their situation, that their giving and all had in a sense slowed down. It had been interrupted. Here's what's not clear. Whether or not the people had a shortage in their finances, or they had a shortage in their communication, or they had a shortage in their ability to reach Paul. And so Paul wants to make clear that whatever was the problem that slowed them down, he's grateful that they were able to again re-engage in sowing into his ministry, that he even ministered while he was in a predicament that was not conducive for ministry. And I want to say this to you, my brothers and sisters. It means so much, and those of you who minister know what I'm talking about, that when you're in a hard place, when you're in a struggling place, that when you're in a difficult place, to have the encouragement of the believers to encourage you. And all encouragement is not just money. All encouragement is not just, you know, gifts. Sometimes it's just encouraging you. It's praying with you. It's staying with you through those times. It's letting you know what a blessing you have been in my life. Sometimes when you feel you're at your lowest ebb, that's when you need somebody who's been blessed to say, man of God, you blessed me with that word when you didn't feel that that word got past your lips. Sometimes your confirmation of what God has done through the man or woman of God when God has blessed you is an encouragement to them.
It's not always about money. Yes, money is good. It's needed for ministering. It's needed for life, etc. Paul was one who made it clear, I want you to see the next verse, that his whole desire was not to compliment them so they could give him more stuff. That wasn't it at all. He was just grateful because later in the chapter, he goes on to tell them because they have ministered to his needs, because they have sown into his life and into his ministry, that his God would supply all their needs according to his glory by Christ Jesus. So he's making clear, he wants them to understand what a blessing it is when you get it, when you catch it, how important it is to encourage the men and women of God doing what God said, especially when it blesses you. Listen to what he goes on to say, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul said, I was content in jail when y'all didn't send me nothing. And I was content in jail when y'all sent me something. He said, but I rejoice that you remembered I was in jail for you. Y'all didn't catch that. Because I spread the gospel to you and to others and lifted up the name of Jesus and honored Jesus because I walked in the way. It is that reason why I'm in jail now. And it's just good to be remembered when you're going through for people you help to bring through. Lord, I wish I had a helping house. Not that I speak in respect of want. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying this because I want y'all to raise an offering for me. I'm not saying this because I want y'all to increase even more in your giving to me. Listen to what he says now, because this is important. He says, I want you also to gather this principle, to learn how, in whatever state you're in, to be content. Not complacent, but content. I think the Christians got content and complacent confused. Because we have more complacent saints than we have contented saints. You see, when you're complacent, you sit back and say, any way the wind blows, it's cool with me. But when you're content, it means you do all you can do where you are with what you have. And when you do all you can do, you're contented with the fact that you've done your best. There are times we desire to do more, and yet in the midst of doing more, we become filled with anxiety because we expect things greater than our ability is able to perform. And so one of the things that you got to know is you can't do no more than you can do. But when you do the best that you can do, be content with that. You look at other folk and you see, man, they're really doing this and they're doing that. Listen, it's their time. It's their season. It's their ability. It's their call. It's their purpose. It's their course. Don't you get hooked up and become envious and jealous because of what God is doing through them. He's doing that through them because he has anointed and appointed them for that season. Realize your season is coming. Realize God is doing through you and in you and with you and for you what he desires for you and nobody else. Be content with the fact that whatever gifts you have, God intended you to work through and out of those gifts. I don't care how much I might want to do a certain thing. If it's not my gift, stop focusing on what I don't have and focus on what